You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, I could sure tell during our commute back to the RV park after a long day at work that you've got a burr under your saddle about Crazy Joe or Sleepy Joe Biden.
Well, I do, because he did his first campaign speech recently, and I listened to it, and then I listened to the commentary afterward. So as I was listening to what he said, every single thing he said was wrong. And I had an answer to everything that he said. And I was in the car driving, listening, and I just wanted to scream at the radio and say, no, you're wrong. That's not right.
Well, I'm going to let you run with it. So why don't you pick out a couple of things and let's discuss those things.
Well, he gave his speech in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So he picked that place because President Trump won Pennsylvania after, you know, usually it's a Democratic state.
Yeah. But did more than win Pennsylvania. He slaughtered Hillary Clinton in a number of big counties there.
He did. And it's a union state, and it's got the steelworkers union there and probably a few others. But Biden had gone to one of the union halls and actually spoke in front of just a couple of hundred people, if that, which was kind of funny because they're touting how wonderful he is, but yet nobody really showed up for him. But anyway, he was going on and on about, you know, just a number of issues. One being that he's touting he's a union man. So let's bring unions back. We need unions. The employees in this country are not treated well. The big companies treat you horribly. And I am just sitting there as a business owner thinking, are you kidding me? That I work in corporate America all day, every day. I deal with companies from very small couple person companies to global companies. I don't see the employees being mistreated, Ron. In fact, they're treated extremely well. I can't even tell you how well they're treated. Well, let me tell you how well.
Well, I don't think they've seen this economy explode and their checks go up like any time before. And I mean, even prior Republican presidents. It's astounding how much growth there's been in this economy, and a lot of new jobs, tens of thousands of actually hundreds of thousands, if not millions of jobs, have been created by this administration, where the other administration, where Joe Biden was the vice president, was just languishing.
Oh, and the country stayed in a recession way too long. And even though they like to say that they were coming out, it was a very painful period. But back to, you know, his entire mantra is that corporate America greed, the tax cuts that Trump gave. Oh, by the way, people, he gave $2 trillion of tax credits. Did you feel it? No, of course you didn't feel it, because all the rich people felt it. I beg to differ. Everybody who gets a paycheck felt that tax decrease. Everybody got more in their paychecks. I can tell you as an employer that every single one of my employees got more in their paychecks. Everybody paid less for their taxes than they did in the past. Not everybody. Some of the rich people didn't pay less for their taxes, but that was the way that this was designed. But what he's saying, and trying again to put a divide in the country between the more wealthy people and the middle class. I didn't hear him really mention the lower class, if you want to call it that. That's probably not the right word, but you can see where his thing is going to be to go for the middle class and tell them how sad they are, how forgotten they are, how they didn't get the benefits and all the rich guys get the benefits. And I'm here to say that this makes me really angry, because our economy is one in which you have the ability to work hard and to get wealthy. You have that ability. It's one of the only countries in the world where you can do this.
Yeah, I think it's the only, you know, one of the only economic models where you can make as much money or as little money as you want. So you can, as long as you strive to move forward, education, job skills, showing up for work, being motivated, being excited about what you do, I mean, there is really few limitations to where you can go.
Exactly. And it seems like to me that what he's saying is, you know, again, he's telling people that they're downtrodden, and they're not downtrodden. And people who feel downtrodden, in my opinion, a lot of that is their own fault, because everybody has choices in life to make, and they choose what jobs they take and they choose what jobs they stay at, and nobody forces you to do any of these things. So if you work hard and you become wealthy, then now you're the enemy. I mean, that's what I'm feeling from this guy. That doesn't make sense. So now if you worked really hard and you get wealthy and you're employing other people, now we should take more from you. And now these employees that you built a company to employ, and now you've given all of them an income and you're taking care of their insurance and their livelihoods, but now we're going to take more from you and make sure that you don't get too much.
Well, isn't this the whole theme of economic equality? That's what they want.
It's socialism.
Well, of course it is. They want the economic equality. So people like you, I mean, here's a great example. You know, we're working about 14 hours a day, and then you and I work during the weekends.
Yes.
I think this last weekend is a great example where we took, I think we worked all day Saturday, and we took off work at like 4 o'clock to go out to dinner with people on Sunday. So we literally worked an entire weekend, you know, and our employees, of course, are all home or they're doing something great with their families. But you and I, as separate business owners and joint business owners as well, you and I are putting in those long hours. So why should someone that does not get the education, does not put out to get the education, does not put out to get the job skills, does not network to create business, why should they make the same amount of money as me? Why should they take my money and your money away from us and give it to those people? Where's the incentive for you and I to continue to want to be successful and thrive and create something meaningful for our employees?
Right. And the fact is that everybody is not the same. There are always going to be the people that are the entrepreneurs and the people that want to be the worker bees. That just is a fact of life. And I can tell you, you know, I mean, so many people that I've said, you know, why don't you start your own business? Why don't you do this? No, I don't want to do that. They don't want to. So let everybody be how they want, but don't punish those that do succeed, and don't keep continuing. This is the Democratic strategy all the time. I'm sick to death of it, that they are always telling people that they are kept down. They tell the black people that they are kept down. They tell the workers
all
that
the
they're kept down.
All the people of color and any culture that is not
white.
From a wider European, every other culture is kept down by the white or European cultures. And it's absolutely ridiculous. Some of the most prosperous people, not only in the United States, but throughout the world, are people of color and people of different cultures. And what really bothers me consistently about the Democrats and the socialists and, you know, these groups that I find are both intolerant and extremely divisive is that they want to separate us economically, the rich people and the poor people, and the rich people holding down the poor people, and the corporate people holding down the middle class. Linda, you made a great point when we were, you know, driving over here to the RV park, and you said that outside of the higher corporation administrators, CEOs, people like that, that, you know, absolutely make a ton of money, maybe more money than they need to be making. But, you know, you said that the corporations don't make the money. It's the shareholders that achieve success financially when the corporation does well. And who are the stockholders? Aren't they people just like us and people in the middle class?
Absolutely.
You know, people on pensions or, you know, when you have the different unions and they have pension funds and plans, aren't those because they have invested into these big corporations so that their people can enjoy the profit sharing from the wealth of these corporations? Isn't that how it goes?
He has no idea how it goes, Ron, is the fact. And that's the problem, is that the stuff that he's dragging out here is tired, old rhetoric, and it's incorrect. And to talk about, you know, how we should be bringing the unions back, wasn't this just remind me the administration, Obama and Biden, that destroyed the coal industry and the coal workers unions
and the steel industry.
And the steel industry, which is in Pittsburgh.
Sending it all to China.
So I hope that you don't forget that, people in those states and these unions, where he says he wants to bring back unions. The unions, they had a time, they had a day that was good, and maybe some of what they do is still good. But let's just be real, that the unions have become pretty corrupt, and they take the money from people, and what do they do with it? They make political action committees, and they do that type of thing, but they are not helping their workers like they used to be back in the day.
You know what? I'm gonna step in here, because you know that I have worked as an expert for SEIU, which is a huge, you know, municipal union, municipal workers and, you know, janitors. And I mean, so many different people, classifications, classified and certified, belong to SEIU, CSEA. And I've got a current case with the CSEA right now. Those unions do not represent the union members. The way they act towards them, when a union member is in trouble, and I handle investigations, they get in some sort of administrative investigation, whatever, the union could care less. Listen, the people that join unions, they don't need unions. What they need are associations, and take all the billions of dollars that they spend on unions every year, and if you would just lump your money together and hire a couple of labor relation attorneys and an expert firm, you could cut your union costs down by 2/3, and you would get many more positive returns with respect to representation. But the unions have got a stranglehold on these people. And, you know, like you get like the closed shop, for instance, where you can't work someplace unless you join that union. And then, like you said, Linda, they take your money. Let's say that you're a conservative person, and they take your money and they give it to somebody like Joe Biden.
Right.
Okay. They shouldn't be giving money to any political cause.
And that's the whole problem. So for him to go into Pennsylvania, in a state where his administration helped to decimate these jobs and these unions and their industry, and act like he's a friend of the unions, is just as hypocritical as could be. And I thought it was, you know, I got a huge kick out of some of President Trump's remarks. But one other thing before I say that is that, you know, he also, forget it, because I lost that thought. But what Donald Trump says, that the fake news is pushing Sleepy Joe hard, right? Funny, I'm only here because of Biden and Obama. They didn't do the job, and now you have Trump, who's getting it done. And
you know, that's kind of a snarky remark, as you say, but isn't that exactly true?
It is exactly true.
He would have never been president had Obama and Biden taken care of business.
Right. And in Pennsylvania, where Joe Biden was, okay, there unemployment rate is the lowest since 1976. So listen, Pennsylvania ought to be doubling down on voting for President Trump.
Absolutely. You know, when he made a couple of other remarks, he was making remarks about we have the greatest military in the world.
Yes.
Now, that might be true, but it has nothing to do with you, Sleepy Joe, because you and your buddy Obama did everything they possibly could do during your lousy administration to decimate the military. The only guy that has been building up our military and turning it again into the greatest military power in the world is President Trump. And don't you ever forget it.
And he's also the guy fixing the veterans mess that he was left by them.
And they have now, veterans have got better benefits now, and they've got a little bit higher pay.
Well, and
it's difficult to do.
But they have the choice of going to any doctor and hospital, and it doesn't have to be a veterans hospital now.
But exactly the point about the horrible Veterans Administration. And by the way, I'm not going to lay this all at the feet of Obama and Biden, because it was going on with the Bushes. It was going on with the Clintons. Hell, we've had a catastrophically bad Veterans Administration as long as I can remember. But at least this president, meaning President Trump, has been the first person to put his foot down and, you know, get some change here, including firing people that are not doing their job.
Well, and the other thing that they did with the military in their era is that the rules of engagement were absolutely ridiculous under Obama and Biden.
And that's why we were losing these wars, these conflicts that we had.
It's why we lost more boys than we should have lost.
Exactly.
For sure. And why they dragged on and on. So, you know, President Trump changed those rules of engagement and got the job done, for heaven's sakes. So another thing that Biden was touting is that we should have the $15 an hour
increase in minimum wage.
Yeah, and that should be nationwide. Well, every study that's been done, Ron, has said that that has backfired and people have actually lost their jobs. So again, he's living in an alternate universe than what reality is.
Well, you know, you're right. And we see this when we come out to visit California like we are now. We've seen the places like McDonald's, places like Panera Bread, and some of these fast food and convenience restaurants, now that they've gone up to $15 an hour in the state of California, they have become automated. So now, especially like at McDonald's, they've gotten rid of 3/4 of their staff, and now you just go in and plug everything into the computer. And I'll tell you what, I'd like it better, because I'm not standing in the line anymore, you know, when you go in, and you're pushing the buttons of whatever
you want.
The machine
doesn't get your order wrong.
Yeah, the machine doesn't get your order. Now, maybe the cook will, but the machine is not getting your order wrong. You're not standing in line anymore. And basically, they just need a supervisor. They need about 3 cooks and someone to work, the takeout window. And other than that, but look what happened. When they went up to $15 an hour, I think tens of thousands of people that were working in that industry, they're not working in that industry anymore.
No, there's always the law of unintended consequences. Well, how about a cup of coffee?
I'm with you.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Well, I want to continue a little bit more about Joe, because he said so many things that made me angry. Another one that he was talking about was the same thing as Bernie Sanders, that everybody should get health care, that health care is a right. And we've already had a conversation about how we feel about that. It just goes into too many different areas about if we'd even have doctors to take care of people at that point. But that being said, he wants to really double down on the wonderful Obamacare that he started with Obama, and which we all feel is a disaster, because he, both of them, you know, basically single-handedly destroyed the health care in this country, in my opinion. So to want to double down on that is just horrible. And he's, you know, complaining about Trump wanting to make the changes he wants to take. And he says, you know, put me in before he is able to ruin the rest of the program.
Well, you know, I don't have a problem with the poorest of the poor getting affordable health care and us helping them out and subsidizing with some health care. Absolutely zero illegal aliens should get health care whatsoever. I'm sorry. I'm sure that I know the courts disagree with me on that. But I think that if you are in this country illegally, you have, other than constitutional rights, you have no rights to health care. You just don't. You should be paying for health care just like everybody else, but you should be paying for it in your own country.
Well, just like we pay in their country for health care.
You know, we were talking about the other night on one of our coffee conversations, you brought up the fact that in the United States, we subsidize illegal aliens over $100 billion a year. And, you know, my thing is, what could we do in the United States with $100 billion a year? Just think of all the programs that we could sponsor and fund for $100, you know, billion dollars a year. So, no, I don't think that healthcare is a right. I think that you should work for healthcare. And you and I are great examples with Medicare. We worked all our life to pay into Medicare. So it's not an entitlement. And I hate it when a politician, they all seem to be Democratic politicians, refer to it, meaning Medicare, as an entitlement. We worked for it. We paid into it, just like Social Security. We paid into Social Security all our lives. And as we are now reaching the time in our lives where we want to be paid back for all the tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars that we put into these two programs, I want to see us get something out of it. And so far, Linda, I haven't heard us getting anything or seen anything. Why don't you just share again with me, you went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago for an easy procedure, and you got a bill today.
Well, the bill, it was just a dermatologist, and right. And the bill I think was something like $288 total, and the doctor received $12, and, you know, theoretically, under Medicare,
you shouldn't have to pay,
but I got the bill for the difference. So it doesn't matter. The bill that I pay to Medicare, even though I've paid in it my whole life, and you the same way, is almost as much as our regular insurance was. And then we still have to pay the doctor on top of that, because Medicare doesn't pay. So honestly, I'm asking myself, what good is it, and what did I pay for all those years? My problem is a big one with having the government get involved in my health care, in anybody's health care. I think it's absolutely wrong. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that Joe Biden did with Barack Obama that was one of the worst things ever, that I could never forgive them for, is, and they denied it, is putting those death, what did they call them?
Death panels.
The death panels in their Obamacare, and they denied it. But no, it's
And that's not propaganda.
No, okay? It's there.
That's absolutely there.
Yes. And just even look at the papers that I had assigned that we just talked about, that said, you know, oh, well, you know, if you're on Medicare, we can't do this, we can't do that. You may not get all of, they may not even pay for what we're recommending. You know, so it's not all that. Get the government out of my health care. I want my own health care. I don't want HMOs. I don't want anybody in between me and my doctor. And that's the program that Americans should have. Now, if you have people that are so indigent that they can't pay for anything, then of course, give them some help. But that is not everybody. Americans, unfortunately, have learned to become so entitled, and they want to be given everything, and they think it's free, and it's not free, and it's actually to their detriment to have that type of health care.
And let's go back to the free market economy and allow insurance companies, medical insurance companies, to advertise across state lines.
Absolutely.
Because if that happened alone, you would see a significant reduction. And like you said, let's get rid of the middleman and middle people. I mean, there's entire middle people industries,
yes,
that have grown up around the healthcare industry.
And everybody
industry.
Gets a piece of that
exactly.
buck. And it doesn't go from me to my doctor, which is where it should go. So I am so against what he is talking about for healthcare. And the other thing that I'm really against is he's talking about how the kids shouldn't have to pay for college, that the price of college is too high. Well, again, let me remind everybody that a lot of the price of college went up under him, and people like Janet Napolitano, who, you know, are running these systems, the UC systems, and the prices are exorbitant, yet they're out, you know, having steak and lobster on all of our money.
Oh my God.
And they're doing trips to Las Vegas and trips here and there and, you know, having a great time.
Well, Janet Napolitano is the chancellor for the University of California system, which is a, you know, basically a private university system of, you know, in the state of California, and I think there are like 17 or 19 UC universities in California, and the money that they spend
entertaining themselves.
Oh my God, is absolutely ridiculous, and the tuitions for these, you know, state universities, the private states, the UC, the University of California, as opposed to California State University system, and I think we've got 22 of those, it's just unfathomable. And then plus what they're doing is they make the kids, and we've talked about this three or four times, they make the students take these most ridiculous classes that doesn't move the student forward whatsoever, but increases the tuition, and they keep putting more units into these undergraduate and graduate programs to the point that now the kids cannot get through the university in 4 years. It takes 5 years. It takes 6 years.
Sure, because that's more money for them.
And that's exactly right. So I'm with you right there.
And so what Biden wants to do is take the money that he says was given to these greedy corporations by President Trump in the tax cut and, you know, help pay these school costs. And then he's talking about, you know, we should also pay taxes on our capital gains and death taxes. And therefore, if grandpa dies, somebody can take care of grandma. Well, listen, if grandpa dies and he leaves her his money, she now can't have that money because you want to take it away from her. So, you know, how are you taking care of grandma? This is just that you need to read between the lines of what these people are saying.
Well, I think you need to keep it simple, stupid, right? The KISS principle. Nothing is ever for free. Somebody is always going to pay for the freebies that other people receive. Again, it's another aspect of the redistribution of wealth. And this kind of attitude has got to stop, because if you let the Democrats run this country the way they want to run this country, the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids are gonna be broke. And there's no two ways about it. I don't care how far you want to kick this can down the road. All these rich, uber elite politicians that don't participate in any of these programs because they've got their own programs, they're going to be living high on the hog, after they're retired on these government, ridiculous government pensions and separate benefit programs for everything, medical benefits. They got a separate medical plan, Social Security. They don't have Social Security. They have a special investment plan. All of these things, they're going to be living high on the hog, and everybody else is going to go broke trying to subsidize these programs that once they're in, you can't get rid of them.
Well, there's, you know, I can't stop thinking about, when you think about a Joe Biden for president, I think about Fast and Furious. I think about Benghazi. I think about Uranium One. I think about Obama sitting in a room, not being able to decide if they should take out
Osama
bin Laden or not.
How about $158 billion paid to Iran?
Okay,
in cash money and negotiable, internationally negotiable bearer bonds. I mean, that were delivered secretly on C-130s on giant pallets full of money.
And spying on his competitor's campaign and spying, you know, on numerous people.
Oh my God. And bringing, like I wrote in my, you know, the truth behind the Black Lives Matter movement, you take one of the biggest black racists in the United States, which is Reverend Al Sharpton, and you bring him into the White House 65 times, and then you surround yourself with people in the Muslim Brotherhood in the Obama and Biden administration, and then you bring in the founding members of Black Lives Matter, a radical Marxist revolutionary group that is responsible for touting the killing of police officers. Remember, put them in a blanket, fry them like bacon. Okay, these are the people that inhabited the White House under Biden and Obama. We cannot ever forget that.
No, this would be a tragedy. And I mean, just the nerve, and for people to have said that, oh, he did a great job in the speech. You know what? He sounds wonderful. You need to know what you're talking about, though, or what he's saying, and you need to know the facts behind it, because he's lying. And a lot of his speech was accusing President Trump of lying. And I say this all the time to you, I'm not seeing it, okay? I'm not seeing where the Trump lies are. I saw a whole lot of Biden lies, though.
You know, my strategy would be, if I was on the Trump campaign, would be to tell President Trump, look, you know, because all politicians stretch it, right? They stretch it to make themselves look really good. Trump has done such an amazing job. He doesn't have to stretch a darn thing, Linda. All he has to do is talk about what he and his administration have accomplished quite truthfully. Don't stretch anything. And when he's up on that podium, if it turns out to be, you know, him and Biden, that's all he has to do. And, you know, then let that company that does the Pinocchios or whatever it is decide how many Pinocchios Joe Biden's going to have in comparison to President Trump.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to seeing more of Trump's tweets about Biden, because he's right on the target when
I just want to know. Okay, so I guess he's already coined. He's going back to the old Donald Trump from 2016.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so he's already...
He's still the same guy.
He's already got the moniker for Joe. I thought it was going to be Creepy Joe, but it's Sleepy Joe. All right, and he's going to do the same thing to Biden that he did with Jeb Bush. Remember, low energy Jeb Bush.
Well, one more, and then we'll move on from Joe.
Yeah, we've been picking on him pretty good, but I'll tell you what, he deserves to be picked on.
So President Trump said that Joe obviously doesn't know that Pennsylvania is having one of the best economic years in its history, with the lowest unemployment ever, a now thriving steel industry that was dead, and a great future.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I know we picked enough on former Vice President Joe Biden, but I want to piggyback on something that he did say, and it perturbed me. He said that we are in a fight for the core values of America.
For the soul of America.
For the soul of America. And let me tell you what, Joe, you're right, but not for the soul of America that you want. And here is a great example of it. The anti-Semitic comments that are coming out of our politicians, especially Omar and Tlaib, that are just anti-Semitic and hateful, and what these comments do, as issued by our very dysfunctional and ignorant and uninformed freshman congresspeople, they are igniting the fuses of the ticking time bombs that are going off around the country. And we've seen two recent great examples of that, and they are just such unfortunate tragedies that these things keep happening in the United States of America. But the San Diego synagogue active shooter recently, thank God he only killed one poor Jewish woman before he was stopped, but he wounded some other people, but he's in custody. And then most recently, this radicalized military veteran, again in California, which has got a ton of ticking time bombs, and this guy radicalized. He's a native-born American, radicalized by ISIS, had been in our military, and he wants to become a martyr, pledged to ISIS, wanted to become a martyr, so he starts putting out some information on social media. Somebody saw it, reported it to the FBI. The FBI does an undercover sting operation. This guy is out buying parts for bombs. He's buying screws and nails and sharp pieces of metal to put in an IED, improvised explosive device. He ends up contacting an undercover FBI operative, one of our agents, undercover agents, and buys a phony bomb.
Right.
And he had told the agent and a few other people that he was planning on multiple targets. First target, killing a lot of Jews. Second target, killing a lot of cops. And he had different areas and venues that he had planned on and around the Long Beach area. So he bought this bomb to set this bomb off at some sort of rally in Long Beach, but the rally wasn't held. And they decided, okay, he bought the bomb, that's enough, let's put this guy to bed, and they arrested him. So, and thank God for that, and I hope he goes away for the rest of his life. But this is what these politicians, these irresponsible politicians like Omar and Tlaib, who are both radical Muslim women, when you put out that information, you light those fuses.
Well, and let's not forget, back to Joe, that under the Obama administration and Biden administration, they absolutely fueled racism in this country. It set back our race relations by 50 years in this country.
Well, he set back our relationships with the Israelis.
With the with the Israelis, the Jews, they set back relations. Obama obviously did not like Israel one bit. He always took the side of the Palestinians. So this is where this guy comes from. When he has the audacity to complain about these things and blame them on President Trump, this is squarely on his shoulders.
Absolutely. How about our last cup of coffee?
Okie doke.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our response to active shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to responsetoactiveshooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, responsetoactiveshooter.com, and be safe out there.
Well, it's nice and cozy, enjoying our final cup of coffee this evening.
It is.
Well, I'm going to switch from coffee to pot.
Oh.
All right, because...
I'll stick with my coffee, please.
Well, not that I'm smoking pot, but I want to talk about pot because we're here in California, one of the states that have legalized cannabis. As a matter of fact, I think it was one of the very first states to legalize cannabis. And then a lot of states followed. You know what they say, where California goes, a lot of states follow. But look at what has happened in the state of California. Because now, and by the way, pot was only legalized in California about a year ago. So we are just recently past our first year anniversary, and now we have a serious problem with respect to the California government, because there are over 58,000 illegal pot farms in California. And we have far more illegal pot farms than any other state in the United States. And it's because we have one of the best growing environments, you know, which means topsoil, weather, access to, you know, water from streams and things like that. And so what is happening is that the 58,000 illegal pot farms are generating millions of pounds of marijuana that's being processed and taking, I guess, taking tens of millions of dollars of potential tax revenue out of the state coffers. And the other thing it's doing, and I didn't put this part together until recently, but it does make sense. They are putting a lot of these dispensaries and legally licensed pot distributors right out of business.
Well, and it's doing a couple other things too. They are using, marijuana uses a ton of water to grow.
Oh, yes, they do.
And they are taking water, actually illegally, in
many
of those places.
Damming the streams, yep. and diverting water.
Exactly. And that, in a state that is constantly in a drought, that is a huge problem. The other big problem, Ron, and why I absolutely disagree, among many reasons why that pot should be legal, period, is it doesn't stay in California. What happens in California doesn't stay in California.
You're exactly
so,
right.
All of this pot that they're growing illegally is going all over the country to other people in other states that don't want it there, that still respect the law, the federal law, that it's illegal. And that's what's happening. So,
well, you know, this is the law of unintended consequences. So not only is that going on, but now our DUI, serious accident, and death rates are just going right through the roof. Look at what happened in Colorado. That's a huge problem in Colorado, and it's becoming a problem in all these other states, because the content of THC, the tetrahydrocannabinol, the euphoric property in the drug, which is a depressant, is creating these problems. And you know, it's so interesting, Lynn, because, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was out in Ohio, and I flew back into California, and when I landed at the airport, and if you remember, I landed at LAX because you had such a horrible time trying to pick me up at the airport. But as we're driving out of there, I'm seeing signs not only in the airport but outside the airport that were pro you know, marijuana signs, but right next to it, suicide signs and problems with mental health, you know, all of these things that are directly related to the ingestion of high-content THC marijuana. So it's just destroying this state. And you and I, as being old law dogs, when they started talking about wanting to legalize marijuana in California, you and I said, this is going to become a huge underground economy, and don't do it, because it's not going to accomplish what you think it's going to accomplish. And I have to admit to you, even I did not anticipate that we would have 58,000 illegal pot farms in the state of California right now, and the number is growing exponentially every single month.
Yeah, it's a problem, and it doesn't stay at home, unfortunately.
Okay, here's my next issue.
Okay.
South Carolina legislature is considering firing squads as an alternative to lethal injection for death row inmates. Isn't that interesting in comparison, again, who? California, where Governor Gavin Newsom has put a moratorium on the death penalty, and those guys that are in death row, which we have, I think, over 1,000 people, or pretty close to over 1,000 people on death row, they will never see death row again, for all intents and purposes.
And this despite the voters in California voting 11 times to maintain the death penalty. I guess that Gavin Newsom just knows better than all the people in California. You need to think about that next time you're voting for governor.
Well, hey, Lynn, what about this National Conference of State Legislatures? And they go ahead and vote, get 17 different state legislatures together, and they voted in a push to remove President Trump from the 2020 ballot unless he releases his tax records.
Oh, I saw that. And you know what? That's despicable. And the first thing that I think of is that those states are willing to disenfranchise all of the Republicans in their states to get their way. And that's exactly what this is about. And every single one of those states is Democratic, has a Democratic legislature that is putting this forth. It's not Republicans doing it.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because some of the people putting forth, this push to keep Trump off the ballot in 2020, I want to specifically talk about the state of Washington, because the two major players that are trying to keep Trump off the ballot, I think one is a state legislator and the other person is a mayor. And when the media asked them if they would release their tax records, both of them said they would not.
Yeah, they would not. So
isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do, right?
Right.
Well, the truth is that I believe that they would need a constitutional amendment in order to get this accomplished, because it is not a requirement anywhere that the president-to-be show his tax returns. So just because other ones have done it voluntarily doesn't mean he has to do it. And it's not anywhere written in law that he has to do it. So they're not going to win this. But the fact that they're even trying, again, whoever those states are, and you should look them up and name every one of them, the people in those states need to just take note that their legislature is trying to disenfranchise them from being able to have who they want run for president.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And, you know, if it isn't one thing, it's going to be another thing. But again, here's the same, you know, my mantra is, what is anybody doing besides the president of the United States, his administration, his cabinet, to move the United States of America and all of us forward? What are they doing? What are the Democrats doing? What are the socialists doing? They're not doing anything. And you can't go with what they say. You got to go with behavior. And I remind us and everybody else that the Democrats have been in power now with the majority in the Congress for over 100 days. And what have they accomplished? Not one single thing, not one single piece of legislation has been passed by them.
Well, and I don't see any upcoming either. Well, Ronaldo, I have a little quiz, and it's on 20th century world history.
Ooh.
Because, you know, we're getting further and further away from that era. So let's just see what we remember. Now, I have not looked at this, have not taken it. I'll probably get every single thing wrong, but you're smarter at history than I am. So I'm counting on you to hold us both up here.
Boy, no pressure there, Linda.
So the first question, In which decade did the Great Depression take place? The 1950s or the 1930s?
Well, I was just going to say it happened in the 1930s, of course.
1930s,
okay, pre-World War II.
I agree. Well, we were correct. The Great Depression was a worldwide economic downturn that was ended in part by World War II. The Berlin Wall was taken down in 1989 or 1967.
1989, Ronald Reagan. Mr. Gorbachev,
tear down
this wall.
Yes, the wall was put up in 1961 to separate communist East Berlin from West Berlin, taken down in 1989. As you said, Ronald Reagan made that happen. Number three, a massive meltdown happened at what Soviet nuclear power plant in the 1980s? This is an easy one for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, we could never forget Chernobyl.
No, and there's still ramifications from that.
It is still a wasteland. Basically, it has been an abandoned city since that time, and I don't think they're ever going to be able to go back there.
Yep, 30 years later, they still have issues.
Yeah, oh, it'll happen for hundreds of years. It's done.
Who was the leader of Italy during the start of World War II? Was it Silvio Berlusconi or Benito Mussolini?
Well, it was definitely Benito Mussolini. My dad fought him in World War II, and the guy that preceded him in your question is actually a former president of Italy that had to leave office because he had a sex scandal.
Oh, well, and Mussolini, he was there from 1922 to 1943. He is the guy that invented fascism.
That is correct. And here's something that a lot of people don't know. Adolf Hitler was a student of Benito Mussolini. As a matter of fact, Benito Mussolini was one of Hitler's heroes. And during the war, Benito Mussolini was captured by the Allied forces and put in a castle prison. And Adolf Hitler's paratroopers, in a very daring raid, used gliders and landed up there and got Benito and brought him back to Germany. Incredible. Benito Mussolini was later killed with his girlfriend outside of Milan and hung upside down with her in the Milan Square. Very interesting history.
Yes, that is interesting. Well, in 1992, I know you're going to know this one. The riots in Los Angeles were a reaction to the acquittal of police officers who beat a civilian named
Rodney King. And that was my first federal case for the United States Department of Justice. I'll never forget it.
And I was working right down the street from there when this happened. And there was riots everywhere around us.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was the name of the combat phase of the 1990 to 1991 Gulf War? Was it Operation Windstorm Attack or Operation Desert Storm?
Desert Storm.
That's it. The combat phase was called Desert Storm, while the buildup of troops and defense was called Desert Shield.
Correct.
Who led the Soviet Union from the 1920s through his death in 1953? Was it Tsar Nicholas II or Joseph Stalin?
No, it was Joseph Stalin. He killed about 60 million Russians and Eastern Europeans.
Yes, he was the General Secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union for over 30 years. And he was a bad dude.
He was a bad dude.
Who's the only black man to win the singles title at Wimbledon? Arthur Ashe or Billie Jean King? Well, this is a stupid question.
It is a question.
Because one of these is a man.
That's right. Well, maybe they could get away with Billie, but everybody knows that's Arthur Ashe.
Of course.
Phenomenal
tennis
player.
And they played each other.
They did, yeah. Yep. He was a phenomenal tennis player.
Yep. Earth Day was first celebrated in what year? Was it 1930 or 1970?
No,
I'm going to answer that because I think it had to be 1970.
No, I think you're right. It was 1970. I don't think we cared much about the Earth in 1930.
Yeah.
Especially since it was during the Depression.
Yep. April 22nd is a day to remember to reduce, reuse, and recycle, I should say. So the Tiananmen Square protests of 1989 occurred in what city? Was it Manila or Beijing?
Oh, Beijing. Remember the famous picture of the man standing in front of a convoy of tanks? I don't think we'll ever forget that iconic picture.
Nope. And that was on June 4th, where the military took the lives of hundreds or possibly thousands of civilians who had been occupying the square for political reasons.
And you know, I think that also happened in 1989, the same year that the Berlin Wall fell.
Oh, okay. Which U.S. president outlined the 14 points, a set of principles to work towards world peace? Was it Woodrow Wilson or Thomas Jefferson?
No, it was Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson is correct, and he presented his points in a speech to Congress in 1918, and he won the Nobel Peace Prize.
And he was also an isolationist and had a lot to do with us getting involved in World War I.
You know, this was an interesting event. The Kristallnacht, or the Night of the Broken Glass, happened in which year?
Oh.
And we learned about that when we were
were actually there, okay, when we were in Germany, and that happened in 1938 during the rise of Adolf Hitler with his brown-shirted stormtroopers.
Yes, they destroyed thousands of Jewish businesses in one horrible incident.
And the reason they called it the Kristallnacht, or the Night of the Broken Glass, is because they went from store to store to store in the Jewish neighborhoods and smashed out all the glass doors and windows there.
Yeah, terrible. What year was Queen Elizabeth II crowned?
Oh my God, she has been queen, I believe, since the 1950s. Okay.
1953 to be exact.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
She is the longest reigning English monarch ever, surpassing Queen Victoria in 2015. And who was the dictator in charge of the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia? Was it Juan Perón or Pol Pot?
No, it was definitely Pol Pot. And if you remember who Juan Perón was, he was the president of Argentina.
Yes.
You remember?
Yes, absolutely. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
There you go.
Pol Pot was in charge of the Khmer Rouge from 1963
to 1997.
Oh my God, they killed
millions. They killed millions during the Vietnam War.
And last one is, which actress visited North Vietnam in the 1970s, much to the chagrin of some Americans?
Oh, that was Jane Fonda, and I will always look at her as being a traitor to the United States.
And
I don't care how many times they try to rehabilitate her, the veterans will always remember traitor Jane Fonda.
And on that note, you got 100%, and see?
Oh, I'm an old history teacher.
You are.
All right, you ready for bed?
I am ready for bed.
Let's do it.
Okay.